We had the most unusual show yesterday as folks were going to a primary election that felt like a general, and for all intents and purposes, with some offices in this city, it is. As people were going to the polls, we were taking calls from folks yesterday, and some of you are saying, hey, John, I was told that I couldn't vote in the assessor's office, which was a very interesting office in this run. I was told that I couldn't vote for Andrea Arela. What's up with that? Now, you've probably been following the news and on this radio station know that her name has been on and off the ballot. But as of yesterday, you could vote for her. That was a legitimate vote. It would be counted. And yet many of us, yours truly included, were told when we went to vote that you couldn't vote for her. If you did, it would not be counted. We were given sheets of green, white paper with big green letters or green highlighting that said, do not vote for Andrea Arela. Imagine this. This isn't the opposition. This is the organization running the election saying, don't vote for a candidate who, in fact, was legitimately on the ballot. It was a communication problem, both with that signage, but also with the people running those particular voting places. They didn't get the word. So Andrea Arela doesn't win, but she picks up 20% of the vote. And notably, Joe Berrios, the incumbent, the chair of the Cook County Democratic Party, is unseated. So now the Democratic nominee is this Fritz Kagi guy out of Oak Park who put a lot of his money into the race, and he'll run against the Republican in November. But the Democrats usually carry the day on a thing like this. So just what an interesting and unfortunate turn of events. And I say unfortunate not because I wanted Andrea to win, or any of them particularly. I mean, yeah, I voted. That's not important. The point is, it should be a fair election. And if the people running it tell you not to vote for someone, it is not a fair election. It doesn't matter if that person got one vote or missed by one vote. That's not a fair election. End of story. Andrea Arela is sitting next to me in the studios, and I would have said that if you were not there. Hello, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, John.
No, you're not. You wish you were out somewhere else celebrating a win or maybe having lost by one vote. What was your best hope? This snafu yesterday notwithstanding, what was your most realistic, optimistic expectation?
I had hoped that being off the ballot for 12 days because of the stay would not allow that green ballot to be removed out of the polling places. I thought that I'd win on election day. It would be a clear, strong opportunity to gather the votes that I thought I could get. I thought I would get 34-35% of the vote, and I thought I'd win by about a percentage point, even though I was underfunded. Never did I dream that there would be such a fiasco on the day of election.
How did you find out that those green notices were posted in some of the places?
I got a call at 7 in the morning, and somebody texted me a photograph of that. And it just happened in the 44th Ward, and then it became epidemic. There were thousands of people texting our campaign, our Facebook, my phone.
And what did you think or feel when you saw that?
I felt that I was betrayed because I had spoken to the City Board of Elections, Lance Gosch, and he told me that he would send out in the morning a text that said, do not send out and hand out the green and white ballot. That's what he told me before Tuesday night, on Monday night.
The green and white one was the flawed one. They did issue a black and white one that was supposed to supersede that. Evidently, not everybody got it. Some of my friends did not see the green and white ones at all, and then obviously some of us did.
But that text went out and told them to hand out the green and white one. There was a 6 a.m. text.
What do you think happened then?
I think that someone ignored their position. You know, the media really has driven a narrative about the nameless third candidate throughout this whole election, and that's an injustice in and of itself. This election was on and off and then on and then, frankly, stolen. This is really a gross violation of free and equal elections. And before this election votes get certified, I want to make it clear that this is a very, very serious breach of election integrity, and it needs to be addressed and reviewed and investigated at the federal level.
What, really, a federal investigation of this?
I believe so.
Do you think it's a criminal case, or do you just think it's a procedural thing?
Let me just say that any candidate, no candidate really, should undergo what I did. It was a fake petition challenge, and it was slanderous, and I had three appellate court justices that overruled what the lower courts had decided. And thousands of voters were disenfranchised because that appellate court ruling said, remove those green notices. Those notices were left in the polling place toolbox for 5 days before the election, and I was told by David Orr and Lance that they would be removed through this text.
The point of that is people who wanted to vote early were also disenfranchised, if you will. I'll get to the problem behind that in just a minute. But so what is your recourse now?
Well, I have a recourse of an injunction. The injunction initially that was set out last night as an emergency action did not go through, but I have an opportunity.
That was to stop the vote, but I mean, so now we're told that Fritz Kagi wins the Democratic primary. Is there a mechanism by which you could have another election, another vote?
Yes, there is. There's absolutely a mechanism.
And how does that work? Tell me how that would happen.
Well, the technicalities are that we take those actions if needed before the votes are actually certified. But I want to I want your listeners to understand that this really was a complete and utter disregard and a real cavalier attitude by the election board officials when they disregarded an appellate court order that said remove those notices, yet they remained in the box for 5 days, and then the false notices came out. All the talk about the conflicts of interest with the tax assessor and the elected officials, you know, running tax appeal companies, what about the conflict of interest with elected officials
this
who oversee the election?
This is Steve Bertrand in our newsroom.
Andrea, so are you saying that that there were mistakes because of lackluster efforts by the City Board of Elections that they should have been taken out? Or are you alleging that there were some intentional efforts to suppress your vote by using those green flyers?
There was intentional efforts to suppress that vote. As I said, there's all the talk about interest with—
By whom?
By elected officials
who?
At the board.
Who?
I spoke with Lance and I spoke with David the night
David
before
Orr.
The Tuesday election. Both of them assured me that they would send out a text message in the morning on Tuesday morning, election morning, saying, do not pass out the green flyers, pass out the black flyers.
And we were told that six such text messages went out, that they kept sending that out. So evidently they either didn't send it out or people weren't heeding what the text messages said.
They sent them out at 10 in the morning and at 1 in the afternoon.
I have a screen grab of one that went out at 7:15 in the morning. People had already voted. Maybe that's a moot point. Maybe that's not so important. Here is your charge that it wasn't sloppiness or carelessness. You think it was intentional that they were trying to somehow keep people from voting for you?
Let's say this. What is the conflict of interest when you have elected officials who oversee our election days openly endorsing and working night and day for a candidate like Kagi and ignoring their election duties to oversee a fair and unbiased election process? Under David Orr's watch and Lance's watch, this election's integrity was seriously breached.
Why? Because because
David Orr spent all of his time promoting Kagi on his Facebook page, through radio and social media outlets for the last 5 days of the election. He should have been taking care of his duty for fair and free elections.
But Andrea, again, there, you're describing what could be negligence. I'm asking, are you saying that David Orr or others put the word out to the precincts to say, put those green flyers up anyway?
Yes, and I have about 72 affidavits from voters from Matteson, Arlington Heights, and throughout Chicago.
Those are affidavits of people who said that they weren't able to vote for you, but you don't have evidence that he actually told people to put them up to, in fact, screw with the election on the site. You don't have that.
He told me.
He told you he was going
Monday
to fix it. He told you he was going to fix it.
He would
the
send
fix
out
didn't
the,
happen. But you don't have a text message from him to people saying what you're charging, which is go ahead and put him up anyway. You don't have that.
We have a conversation that was recorded with a public official saying that two public officials, that text messages would be sent out on election morning telling judges to only circulate the black and white or red notices.
That would be the fix.
Right.
That would be good.
And I believe them. Why shouldn't I believe them?
No. But you understand what I'm saying?
But then,
go ahead.
What happened was, in the morning at 6 o'clock, to all 3,000 precincts, a text message went out to all key judges, circulate the green handout. That's what went out. Not to six judges, to 3,000 polling places.
How could you have avoided this? If what was the problem that caused you to lose in the first round?
When the appellate court on Wednesday said this ruling is the abuse of power of a hearing officer, and that was an abuse of his power, there was no fraud. The fraud was what transcended during the election process. And they had 5 days to do what the court ordered them, throw out those green and white notices. They had 5 days to remove them out of those ballot boxes. They did not, except the city of Chicago. I called them and they said it was a mistake. We should have thrown those green and white notices out.
Can you describe for me with any specificity how a new election would take place? Because it wouldn't be all of the other offices. It would just be maybe these three names on the Democratic ballot. Would I go back to a polling place and just have a ballot with just three names on it? Would only people who previously pulled a Democrat ballot be the ones who would be eligible, or could anybody vote in that election? When would it take place? How does that happen?
I don't know the mechanisms of a redo on an election, but I do know that there are voters there urging me, my supporters urging me to go in that direction. I've got to look at the data. I've got to look at what we're pulling in, the evidence that we're pulling in, which is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal story. We have someone coming into the polling place, being recorded, walking up to the judge. The judge has all the green and white flyers there, and they're handing them out. That person goes to the blue ballot box and says, come here, let me show you the proper file. They open up the blue ballot box. They take out a manila envelope. I say, open it. And out of those are the black and white notices that should have been on that table. So the instructions came down from the highest officials that oversee this election process. And they have run hundreds of thousands of elections. And I'm telling you that they were given the wrong instructions, whether it was intentional or not, or gross negligence, I'm not sure. But this election was on and off, and then on again, and then, frankly, stolen.
But it matters. It does matter if you are alleging that it was done intentionally. Are you doing that?
The federal investigation will determine that.
And why would you not take it to State's Attorney Kim Fox rather than the federal government?
I want a fair review of what happened on the.
Do you think she could not be fair?
Well, let me just say this: the petition challenging process, that was a fake petition challenge. The key objector, the woman who objected, she didn't even know her name was on my objection papers. She called the Board of Elections hearing officer and said, remove my name off of Andrew Rayla's objection petitions. I never gave authority to be on there. So I'm just questioning the objection process. We need to clean that up. We need ballot access. We need a ballot democracy. We need to focus on making sure that we have fair elections. People have the right to choose who they want to vote for. That should be not denied. Men and women have died to make sure that we have the right to vote.
Andrea Rayla is in our studio. It's 1:22, and I'm out of time for this segment. I don't think this is the last conversation you and I are going to have about this.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming into the studio.